Or scripture for the day, because sometimes that seems to be what it is. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And I'll read them and then share some thoughts about them. 9, it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. 10, as every man has received the gift, some translations say a gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And coming back to 9, the word hospitality, in my very basic understanding, is it's expanded now because I've had a lot of time to think about this week before I put anything on paper to share with you. But to me, hospitality always meant like a time of food and fellowship, and how it happens among this body. And now sometimes there are times when you're invited to somebody's house, or they invite you, or you invite them. We have the Pot Blessing Fellowship dinner downstairs, and everybody brings something, and we have a nice meal, and ministry takes place at the table. But that was basically all I ever thought about the word until I began to think the bigger picture. And so I'm going to read a definition from Webster's Biblical Dictionary, and you'll see how this expands beyond what I thought about it. The act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward, or with kind and generous liberality. We use hospitality to one another in welcoming others into our homes for fellowship and a meal. We do not charge our guests and make full provision for the food. We do it in faith, believing God will provide whatever is needed for the occasion. And so, the practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward. It means, from God's perspective, I just want to challenge your way of thinking. With that definition, think about the Lord. He was the inventor of hospitality. The definition? The act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward, meaning not looking for something to gain back from them, or with kind and generous liberality. That's the mindset. That should be, if you're one to extend hospitality, we're not to do it looking to get something for that. It comes from a giving spirit, because it says without grudging. I just want to plant this thought in your head. Oftentimes when Jesus traveled about, and he stopped by somebody's house, you could usually count on at least 12 more hungry men that were walking with him to show up at your house. I think of Mary and Martha. Martha was all in a tizzy. How am I going to feed all these people? Did you ever think that? You know, what would you do if 10 people showed up on your doorstep? Would you send them home? and you didn't know they were coming. You thought it was only going to be one. But this is something really neat about how the Lord is the originator of hospitality. His invitation to come to him is all throughout the gospel message. Basic qualifications. You must be lost. You must be lost. Okay. Meaning not saved yet. So that you could claim no credentials and enter into his grace alone. In other words, you don't have anything to impress God. He receives us first as a stranger, but then as a son or a daughter. And he extends that invitation to everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of background you came from, no matter what nationality, no matter your race, none of those things matter. That hospitality started with heaven, the heavenly call. You know, we talked about the high call of God last week. That's the call of God on your life. Well, he extended that to you at one point, and you accepted his invitation. Not a single one of us could have ever entered the kingdom of God without God's invitation by grace to enter in through faith in the completed work of the cross. And God is the author of hospitality. Luke 12:32. Jesus said these words, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God invited you in and gave you the opportunity to receive and experience everything that he has. He just laid it all out there. That's hospitality. When somebody comes to our home, you just lay it all out there. I mean, I know from personal experience in our home, it's like a place where you can come and have to compliment Faith, and I don't want her to be shamed by it or put on the spot. But you all who know what that's about in your preparation for guests to come, you put out your best, or you put out whatever you have available. But where did that inspiration begin? God put out the best. And everyone is welcome to come and partake. And so, without grudging, it means without murmuring and complaining. I don't know why I got myself into this. I only got 3 potatoes. Well, cut them small and spread them thin. Everybody will get a nibble. But if you think about it from, because I like to challenge people's thinking and take you to another level that maybe you hadn't thought about from God's perspective about hospitality, how enlarged his vision really is, that he has something and he wants to share it with everybody. All whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And so you can't buy it. It's all paid for. Jesus already paid for that. So go. And don't think badly. Or sometimes you might get invited and you'll say, "Well, what can I bring?" And you might get an answer, "Well, just bring yourself. Everything's prepared." And so think about these words when you read them sometime. Think about them in a different level, maybe. And so then, we get down to verse 10. And the Old English King James says, "As every man has received the gift." So many times, as I read that, connecting the verses, I thought he was talking about the gift of hospitality. Because sometimes the subject matter changes from one verse of scripture to another. And if it doesn't, then I'm missing something to make that connection. Every person in the body of Christ has been given gifts, skills, talents, abilities. Some you may have had before you were saved, but after you get saved, the motive changes as to why you now exercise and freely express those or give them or share them. Sometimes before we're saved, pride can get in the way and do it to impress somebody or make a good impression, if you will. But the gifts that have been given to us in the body of Christ are profound. And he says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so I wrote some key words down. Every believer, when that says in verse 10, every believer has received the gift or a gift. Because it says every man, man or woman, but each person in the body of Christ, as you have received the gift or skill or calling on your life, those things come from the Lord because he extends hospitality where he's given freely. Whatever gifts or skills or talents or abilities that you have, he freely gave those to you. But you have to make a choice. Am I going to receive it? No, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that one. I want this one. You know, it's not like shopping at Walmart. Since Ricky brought Walmart up, I'll use that spontaneous. You know, everything that God has is available freely. But you have to come to that place where, do I want that? Do I want it all? Do I want the more part? And you might hear the Lord say, well, there isn't more. I've given you everything. Be content with such things as you have, because I've given it. It's all available to you. Taking possession of what has been given. When you read scriptures, and you read that God has given something. Yeah, but I know that's got to be for my neighbor. I'm not really worthy. When you as a believer say you're not worthy, you're blaspheming the work of the cross. Don't ever speak those words, I'm not worthy. That's a serious matter. That you would doubt the price that God paid for you. He decided your worth. He decided your value, and he paid it all for you. Please understand these words. And choose today, if you've been stubborn about it and thinking you weren't good enough, you didn't measure up, you choose today to receive the things that God has for you. Oh, I'm not worthy. I couldn't possibly do that. You might have felt that way at one time, but the time for feeling that is before you get saved and then God blesses you with salvation. Because none of us. It was his grace. And so if we say we're not worthy now as believers, we're really saying, well, the price wasn't high enough to make me feel worthy. See, there's a lot in this. And sometimes I have the scripture for the day. It's well if I have it 3 or 4 days in advance, because I had a lot of time shoveling snow this week. Scoop, lift, over, dump, meditate. Scoop, lift, over, dump, meditate on the word. Scoop, lift, over, dump, run in the house and write a note down. I keep one of these in my car if I'm shoveling the driveway. Scoop, lift, over, dump. Oh, I need to write that down. And that's how the opening scripture comes. So don't pray for more snow. I'll let God do it the easy way. Here I am. I can receive a word now. It's cool. A little deeper. As every man has received. Now you've got something to work with. You use those gifts to serve others. You see, that's the reflection of hospitality, as God gave and extended that invitation to all. Neither should we withhold the gifts, the skills, the talents, the call, the ministry that you have. You should not withhold that either, because it came from the Lord. And if He deemed, if you want to use that word worthy, if He deemed you worthy and qualified in your lost condition, how much more now? What He gave you, what He's provided for you. So make sure that you have your receivers on. Andy also talked about, he talked about good stewards. When we think of, I think as believers, we kind of learn these things along the way to be a good steward of what God has given us. You might be thinking of your car. You might be thinking of your home. You might be thinking of your job. You might be thinking of your children. There's so many ways that you could think about being a good steward. Well, it's similar to a property manager, someone who manages a large, maybe a motel, or maybe bed and breakfast places, or a hotel chain, or businesses where there's someone who watches over that property. Carl, our brother Carl Erickson, does that on Fisher's Island. He manages people's properties for them. He takes care of them. He's very intuitive to seeing the needs and doing the upkeep and doing all of those kind of things to be a good steward. Well, now think about the Holy Spirit. You're the building. And how God, as a good steward of the things that He's put into you, He manages, if you'll let Him, by the work of the Holy Spirit, to build into you all that you have the potential of being. And hence Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He has implanted in you from His own heart, from His own goody chest, if you will, all of these things, so that it's like He's the property manager. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Being good stewards, those who recognize the value of, manage, take care of, guard, protect, function in, realizing these gifts were freely given by God to be used in serving or ministering to others. I know some people who like to use the word ministering to, but they don't like what the real meaning is about the serving part. You know, we have favorite words that they sound better. It's just true. It just is. And so that's why I always like to, I seek to challenge you, to nudge you along in your faith walk, to don't settle for where you are yet. Be thankful. But we can all grow and have a better understanding or more understanding or illumination by the Spirit. However you're receiving this today, these are very familiar scriptures to us. Sometimes so much so, it's easy just to, like a blip on the radar, because I got to read the whole chapter today. I got this Bible reading plan, and if I don't get this chapter read today, then I'm going to be a chapter behind tomorrow, and then it's just going to be a mess and I'm just going to give up. Take the time. If a scripture captures you, take the time and find all the different things that you can find to read about that. That's what the word meditate means. It means to mull over, to think about. But in your quickness of time, take the time. It's so worth it. And he talked about the manifold grace of God, because that's how these things come. Manifold to me was a part of my engine, my automobile engine at one time. Right, Rick? Yeah, that's right, all of you mechanics. But manifold is a word that means many or numerous. Many or numerous gifts or expressions of God's grace to reflect or demonstrate the proper functions of the body of Christ. When Peter said about the manifold grace of God, it is so multifaceted. It expresses itself, it reveals itself, it shows itself, it demonstrates itself in so many ways and variations. Because that's really, truthfully, the way we function. It's by grace. If you serve somebody else, don't be picky. Don't let their appearance, don't let their situation keep you from giving. You know, every once in a while, this is an in-house thing, so we can talk about this. It wouldn't maybe apply somewhere else. But every once in a while, someone comes to me and makes me aware of a financial need. And it's generally a need. We don't do cars because that's a perpetual pit. Well, I need a windshield this week, and next week it might be a transmission, you know. But it's usually an immediate financial need. So what do? We receive a special offering. We only do it in those periods of time. But if you notice, I never tell you who it's for, because I know. If you know who it's for, it's going to affect your giving. And you're going to forget to run that by the Lord, because you'll base your giving on the person. And you make a judgment as to whether you will or you won't, and to what measure you will or you won't. It's just a fact. But with the manifold grace of the Lord, those things don't matter. If God thought for 1 minute that there were only a certain few that he could share his treasures with, heaven would be pretty small. So that's where this hits home. Because Peter, after he came to realize the seriousness of what he had done, which didn't rattle Jesus at all, Jesus reminded him, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." 3 times, just like Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Boom, you're out of my kingdom. Be gone. No, Jesus didn't do that. He had a plan. He called him. He called him to ministry. He called him to be an apostle. Well, I just wrote down some chapter references, and I would suggest, because it's too lengthy to do in this kind of a format, but when it comes to the manifold or numerous gifts and ways that God manifests his grace throughout his body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, read all the verses, and Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 13. Those aren't up there, but it's not necessary. These are references if you want to know more. And we spent a tremendous amount of time. You want the scriptures again? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the whole chapter. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. We spent months and months and months downstairs talking about all the various gifts and talents and calls in the body of Christ. So I don't want to go into all of that in depth like that here, but you can take these references and go back and look them up for yourselves, but see it in the light of God's extending hospitality. So when I think of hospitality now, that's way a lot more than just having you over for lunch, because God wants to give you the whole meal. Don't take a piece of the loaf. The whole thing has been given to you. So hopefully maybe that will increase your thinking a little bit about keywords. You know, the wonderful thing is when we come together and we just put everything else aside and our hearts are open and vulnerable, it is so incredible how the Holy Spirit prompts us or leads us, or it just, it's precious, because there are things probably that I wouldn't want to give away, because I would think, oh, I'm going to really miss that, or that was really dear to my heart or something. And I don't know if I would have been as convincing and gave in like you did. I commend you. But I know that the Spirit of God does challenge us in many ways. And it's just that we, in an open kind of meeting like we always have, that gives the Holy Spirit such liberty to work in our hearts, to bring attitude changes, to, I don't know, there's something about the oneness of coming together. This is communion and breaking of bread. We break the bread of the word together, and how it so enriches us if we let it. It illuminates our day, and it's a really special time.